the law itself. We often think of the law as a negative thing, but actually God says it's a very positive thing. But we find tonight that the law has had many great purposes, and it's a very important part of leading people to an understanding that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. So notice here in chapter 5, we looked at verse 12 last time, which says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law." And that's our focus tonight, that phrase, no law. What does that really mean? It says sin is not imputed where there is no law. We understand the word imputation when it refers to our salvation, that God imputes salvation to us. But he says that sin is not imputed when there is no law. So we need to make sure we understand what that means tonight. Lord, give us wisdom as we look at your word. And may we learn about the importance of the law and its purpose, Lord. And I pray that this will help us each gain a better understanding of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we give you this service. May you be glorified in it, in Christ's name. Amen. So let's go to Romans 7, verse 12, and just be reminded tonight that the law is not a negative thing. It's a very positive thing. God gave us the law. He gave it to Israel initially, of course, as we understand, through Moses there on Mount Sinai. But the law was given for a purpose. Notice Romans chapter 7, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." So God here is referring to the law itself, and he says it's holy, just, and good. Very positive words. Well, God wrote the law, and God gave us the law to primarily define the sinfulness of man. So let's see this. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Let's turn there and understand that the law is not only good, but the law defines sinfulness. Notice Romans 4, verse 15. "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." So that's very similar to the verse we just read here in Romans 5, 13, which says, "Sin is not imputed where there is no law." This verse says, "Where no law is, there is no transgression." So God gave us the law to define sin. Right from wrong, if you will. And let's look at another one, 1 Corinthians 15, 56. So turn over there quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. Look what God says. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." So again, God gave us the law to define the fact that man is a sinner. One more verse, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Look what he says here. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." So the law was given to define sin, to define what is wrong, what is a violation of God's righteousness and holiness. And as we saw, the law is good. The law is holy and just and good. It defines sin. But on a more personal level, for mankind, the law therefore then gives man the knowledge of sin. And so the law in a written form says to man, "You are a sinner. And here is proof." Now we know we're sinners in our hearts. We've been given a conscience. But we're talking tonight about the law. So notice Romans chapter 3 this time, verse 19. This is very important, this point, this third point. The first point is that the law is good. The second point is that the law defines sin. But this third point is that the law gives man the knowledge of sin. And this is the important point. Notice Romans 3:19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Look at this last phrase. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So it's the law that gives us the knowledge of sin. If you research it, almost every Western culture's legal system was founded upon the Ten Commandments from the law. It was the law that gave mankind the knowledge of sin. That's why God wrote it down. Let's look at another one. Romans chapter 7 this time, verse 7. Romans 7, 7. Paul here bringing it to a personal level to himself. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. So notice Paul said, unless I had had the written law to define sin for me, I hadn't really known what sin was. He says, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. What a statement. So we saw in Romans 3, he says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We see here, he says, without the law, sin is dead. And then another one, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. And so these are very important points when we're thinking about the law tonight and its part in leading man to salvation. The law is a very good thing. The law is a very important thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law wasn't given to save man. The law was given to show that man needs saved, that man is guilty. It's there to lead us to Jesus and his salvation. It's not there to save us, but it's there to show us we need saved. And so already we've seen that, number one, the law is good. The law defines sin, but more importantly here, this third point is the law gives man the knowledge of sin. God takes away man's excuses. Who says, well, what is sin? What's right? What's wrong? God says, I've written it down. Here is what's wrong. Here's what's right. He gave it to us in a book through Moses. He called it the law. And through that law, man gains the knowledge of right and wrong, of sin. Point number four is that we're all guilty. So let's look at this. John chapter 7, verse 19, from Jesus' own words here. John chapter 7 and verse 19. Look what he says to the Pharisees. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet, look what he says, John 7, 19. Is that what I said? Is it a wrong reference or is it a right reference? Yeah, that's right. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Jesus here is speaking to the religious leaders of the day, who, of course, were depending on the law to get them to heaven and were telling all the people they had to keep the law to get to heaven. Jesus said, none of you keep it. You're all breaking it. In other words, we're all guilty. Let's look at a couple more on this. Go to chapter 2 of Romans and verse 14 this time. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So notice it says the law written in their hearts. That's our conscience. We've talked about that when we were in chapter 2. But God then took that and wrote it down and said, this is the law. This is the definition of right and wrong. And everyone is guilty. It says in James chapter 2, verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. If you've broken the law one time, then you're guilty. And of course, we know we've all broken the law many times. Therefore, we are all guilty. So the law is a good thing. The law is holy. So it's just the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus Christ. And our last point about the law tonight is that Jesus then took the law and abolished its power when he died on Calvary. And this is very important. Notice Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And so the law was given by Moses. That's a long period of time from Moses to Jesus. We call it the dispensation of law. It only makes sense. And now we find ourselves in the dispensation of grace. So what happened to law? Well, Jesus abolished it. Notice Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not, I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So he's saying there's something's going to change. Things are going to be fulfilled. Let's see what that is. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 now, verse 15. And honestly, a lot of people struggle with this. There are people out there who think we're still bound to the law. We're still bound to portions of the law. They've broken the law down into various segments, called some of it moral law, called some of it ceremonial law, and so forth. The bottom line is the whole law was abolished by Jesus. Now we still have it. It still teaches us. It still guides us. But we're not bound to any of it. We are, however, bound to the law of Christ, the 150 commandments given by Jesus. And by the way, 9 of the 10 commandments are contained in the law of Jesus. That's a separate topic. But notice Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Jesus himself, what did he abolish? The law. That's what it says. He abolished it. And then the verse that drives it home, Colossians 2:14. It drives it home because it was driven into the cross. Notice Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I like the fact that God uses the word it instead of them. If he had used the word them, then people would say, well, which ones? Which parts of the law? But no, he says it. In other words, as a whole, the whole law was nailed to the cross. You can't reach into the Old Testament and say, well, we still have to keep this part, but not this part. No, the whole thing was nailed to the cross. Even the Ten Commandments. And I know people struggle with that, that fact. But it is a fact that even the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross. And I can show you this. Let's see. I know it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. Yes, let's look at it quickly. Just to drive this final point home, that the law has been abolished by Jesus. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death... Okay, somebody could sit back and say, well, I don't know what that's talking about. Written and engraven in stones. Now we know what it is, don't we? This is talking about the Ten Commandments. Because it's the Ten Commandments that were engraven in stones, right, and put into the Ark of the Covenant. If that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, much more to the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So, what was done away? Well, he's telling us there what was done away, the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones. It was done away. So yes, even the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament were part of the law and were abolished and were nailed to the cross, as we read in Colossians 2:14. However, we get to the New Testament, and we as God's children are bound to follow all the commandments of the New Testament. And by the way, Jesus or Paul repeated 9 of the 10 commandments, making them part of our law. The only one not repeated, of course, was the 4th one, regarding the Sabbath, and that's because it was a Jewish sign, which will be reinstituted in the kingdom. So, what do we learn tonight about the law? God says there in verse 13 of chapter 5, sin is not imputed where there is no law. But the law is good. The law had a purpose. It defines sin. The law gives man the knowledge of sin. As Paul said, if I hadn't had the law, I wouldn't have known I was a sinner. The law declares all of mankind guilty, and we are left without excuse. And it was our schoolmaster to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, to show us that we're sinful and we can't save ourselves, that we need a Savior. And when Jesus died on Calvary, as we read there in Colossians 2:14, it was nailed to his cross. It was abolished. Now, we still have it, and we still read it, and we still learn from it. But it was nailed to the cross. It was replaced by a new covenant. The covenant paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So where there is no law, sin is not imputed. But there is law, and God gave it to us to show us our sinfulness and lead us to Jesus. And then nailed it to the cross when Jesus died on Calvary. Hallelujah for that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus and what he did for us on Calvary. And I pray that, Lord, this will help us to have a better understanding about the law, why it was given, its purpose. But also, Lord, to help others understand that they need Jesus, that we're all sinners before God, as we've seen over and over here in Romans. And that puts us in desperate need of supernatural help from you. Thank you for saving us. May we tell others the great news they can be saved as well from the sinfulness through what Jesus did. In whose name we pray, amen.